Today I'd like to share with you, as I shared with you before, in this season, God wants us to arise, to fight, and overcome. No doubt, all of us struggle with many things. I believe many of you struggle, some of you struggle deeply, different issues, because I want to encourage you today and comfort you. If you face a lot of challenge right now, I tell you, you're not alone. Okay, you're not alone. So tell your neighbor, say, you're not alone. I'm with you. That's the good news. The bad news is you still have to go through it, right? You still have to go through it. So I'm going to share with you today how we can overcome. One of the very powerful weapons the enemy tried to attack his people is the spirit of discouragement, right? Spirit of discouragement. No, and the enemy sometimes he cannot force you to give up, but he can gradually use the spirit of discouragement, and gradually you just kind of move step by step, then you start move away from God without knowing it. I think this week is one of the very uncommon week in my entire life. You know, I never experience this. It's just one thing after another, non-stop, until this morning, until just now. And even at home, I try to print out my my sermon manuscript. Somehow it doesn't work. I follow all the right procedure. It just didn't work. You know, just a lot of obstacle. That shows today's message must be good, right? Enemy doesn't want us to hear about how to overcome the spirit of discouragement. So he wanted to discourage me all the way, everything I did. But I just want to let you know that I even don't have a sermon online because I didn't have time, but it's all right. I think my first point is the spirit of discouragement is very common. It's unavoidable in life. I don't need to explain that. That's my first point. You all know that. The second point I want to share with you, we need to look into what are the reasons that lead to discouragement, right? We are very discouraged. We are somehow discouraged. We are discouraged sometimes, sometimes not. But what are the reasons? The first reason, I think the primary reason is unmet expectation as the primary reason for discouragement, right? We do anything, do everything, we have expectation. I give you an example. When we study, we work for a company, we date someone, maybe not for the English group, you're already beyond that. Or you marry someone, right? Talk about marriage. We marry someone. We have certain kind of expectation. Agree? You marry. How many of you here are married already? Or you have been married? Do you have some expectation of your spouse? Do you? Did your spouse meet your expectation all the time? What's the percentage? Then you say, Pastor Joseph, it's not your business. Right? You say, this is confidential. So I don't want your answer. I have certain expectation of Marlene. Marlene has certain expectation of me. I tell you, our marriage is kind of interesting one. I use the neutral term called interesting. Okay? So you cannot... You can interpret it either way. It's just when the East meets the West, okay, that's the marriage. So there's a lot of cross-cultural, you know cross-cultural, right? When cross-cultural, a lot of miscommunication, misunderstanding, so lead to a lot of surprise, excitement, and depends how you look at it. So in other words, I think I probably disappoint Marlene a lot. Because he always say, you OBC this, this, this. And then I say, you American this and this, you know. So I think one primary reason people are disappointed is unmet need, unmet. I believe many of you have a lot of, from time to time you have disappointment with me, with this church, because you expect certain way, certain things to be done, but it hasn't happened. I think we have certain expectation about life, about different area. When it fails, we are disappointed. You always start with the disappointment, then it led to discouragement. I think the number two reason we are discouraged is when we are facing an unjust situation and unable to change it. I give you an example. I mean, last year, for about 6 months, we were harassed by the identity theft. What I try to say is all our credit cards continue to be shared by someone else without permission. Actually, it's a thief. The certain person continue to use Marlene and Joseph Tian's credit card from time to time. And we continue to receive the alert. So, you know, for a while, every day our job is look at our cell phone, say, is any alert? Then we have to do it. And then Marlene, every few days, she has to change all the information. That's our life. If you or me, will you be discouraged? And that we cannot do much. We report to the police department, we notify the whatever the organization we notify. But the thing continue. Almost like in the certain bank, there's an insider for that game. They can do whatever. The moment we receive our credit card, someone already used our credit card. You know, that's something like that. Will you be discouraged? I cannot change the situation. I try the meds. We kind of get a harassment for 6 months of that. It's day and night, but that's the situation. And I think the only comment we had was when we share with them, we went to the bank and we talked with the specialist there. They say, Joseph, Marlene, I don't know how to come, but I want you to know this is very common. We're not the only one. So when you face unjust situation, unable to change it, another situation is, this past week is very unusual. I only had two cars, right? You guys know that. And then my both car being broken. One car, besides windshield, all the glass has been trashed, okay? Another car is on Friday night. I pick up my beloved wife. We separate for a while. I was so excited to receive her, and then we went to dinner. Very short period of time, less than 1 hour, when we came up, my driver's seat side window was trash, and my business bag was stolen. My business bag have Bible commentary on the sermon I'm going to prepare. Have very important information prepared, and the thief stole my bag without knowing nothing there except my message. I hope he will read the information. Maybe he will repent. No, not in Chinese or in English. And actually, I was very mad at that moment. It's not what thing lost. It's I prepared so much, everything's ready, and then all being stolen. Okay, so that's why today I changed my sermon content a little bit because the thing being stolen. It's okay. And Marlene's lost the luggage inside with the computer and everything. It's just so when you're facing a unjust situation, unable to change it, what can we do? You know, we end up outside the restaurant for 1 hour. I was so mad, I walk around, you know. And now I wasn't waiting upon the Lord, okay? I didn't praise hallelujah. I was walking around to release my tension and anger. I said, one car already broke in, and now another car. What the world am I here? I supposed to celebrate, have a good time, and now this happened to me. And then Marlene tried to find a security guard. Marlene called the police department. Police department said, don't bother. Just file your case online, okay? That's very encouraging, right? We won't come. You just file your case online because this is a small thing in city of Richmond. No big deal. Okay? That's very encouraging. So I think that's just, I not try to complain. I just try to lead you to face the brutal reality. That's the life. We don't need to pretend everything's okay and so hallelujah. We need to go into even the things very tough, we still say hallelujah. Amen? That's a true faith. I think another situation will lead us to discouragement is we're facing very difficult situation. I give you an example. You try to fly from one place to another place by transfer, and your flight has been delayed 1 hour and a half, so you miss another flight. So you end up at the airport to sleep on the bench and in order to catch next early flight. And no compensation. Sorry, that's just nature, you know. So maybe that kind of situation, very difficult because you're lost, no compensation. So I think it's not encouraging, right? It's discouraging because delay everything. But that's not your fault, right? That the weather in the East Coast, in nowadays, the weather very extreme. I think another thing to easily lead us to discouragement is when we work so hard. You work so hard. You put all your heart in, but you see very little fruits, right? It can be in study. It can be your marriage. It can be try to get your degree. It can be, you know, you try to build out your business. It can be parenting. It can be you try to restore your health, whatever. That's the cause of discouragement. Then we look at the type of discouragement. I'm not an expert, okay? I just share from my life experience. I think that one kind of discouragement is one time. It's just one time. You are very discouraged, but somehow it's gone, right? Easy come, easy go. You're so discouraged, but after a few hours, you didn't feel anything. Those kinds are easy. Today, I'm going to deal with is long-term and lingering discouragement. If the situation doesn't improve, however, you are in that situation day in and day out. In the beginning, you still say the right slogan, hallelujah, praise the Lord, but gradually your heart, and talk about reality, right? The heart starts to melt. Your face starts to wither. You just wonder, what's going on? Does God love me? Because the enemy can do one thing very cruel is, when you face the difficult situation, all these things, he come to whisper to your ear, say, does God love you? If he love you, why he allow this thing continue in your life? Amen? We all, close your eyes right now, everybody. Close your eyes. Just think about one thing right now. You really want God to fix for you. You pray for a long time, yet it continue to drag on, right? Isn't that challenging to our faith? So today I'd like to have a case study. It's about Elijah's story. This is a very famous character in the Bible. We know that. But today I'm going to deal with Elijah's discouragement with God. Okay, I think today I'd like to lead you through the scripture, 1 Kings chapter 19, verse 1 to 21. First of all, I want to give you the background of the story. We know Elijah was in the northern kingdom, Israel time. How many of you know in Elijah's time, who was the king? Ahab. What Ahab was famous for? If we talk about three things about King Ahab, what the traits of Ahab? Who was Ahab's wife? Okay. Was Jezebel a godly woman or... Okay, I think Ahab was one thing. Ahab stood out. His trait was he really afraid of his wife. Ahab asked instruction from his wife for everything. Ahab's wife Jezebel actually was a non-Jew. He was a Gentile. She was a Gentile. She came from a country of worship idol. How many of you know what kind of idol worship Jezebel led to the Israel? They worship Baal. It's a very prevalent deity in those days. Many nations worship that very powerful deity. So Ahab actually, with Jezebel's influence, he changed the whole nation from worship Yahweh to worship Baal. Changed the whole nation religion in a very short period of time. Also, Ahab, with Jezebel's controlling, they killed more all the prophets except Elijah left. Destroyed the altar. In today, Ahab just closed all the churches, arrest, kill all the pastors. Pastor Elijah left. Okay? That's the situation. Then we look at this person, Elijah. How many of you know Elijah? Raise your hands. When you think about Elijah, what Elijah famous for? Elijah was a very unusual person, you know. The Bible only say God called so-and-so and to be his servant. And then on, Elijah had very unusual experience. Elijah lived a life very supernatural. God always led him to certain situation is unlikely will provide all his needs. God led him to a wilderness, to the next to the river. He lived there. So God provided food for him through what? Crow. Crow is a very selfish creature. But the crow bring food to Elijah every day until drought hit the land. And then God led Elijah to a foreign widow's house. So he gone through a very strict supernatural training about faith. And the most famous story for Elijah was on the Mount Horeb, right? On the top of Mount Horeb. One person versus maybe 800 false prophets. And later on, he killed all of them. So there was a victory through Elijah, and the whole nation of Israel was in drought. No rain at all. Because Elijah prayed that. He closed the heaven. And then Elijah prayed again. The heaven opened. So this kind of person must be a spiritual giant, right? Is that right? Have you ever met anyone? Remember, we have a drought. California had drought for how long? Can someone help me? 5 years, right? Very severe drought. I remember till the last year, we have a Kingdom Prayer Center here. We pray for that drought. God stopped that every Thursday night. Praise the Lord. We got a lot of rain, right, this year. How many say praise the Lord? Otherwise, we are really in trouble right now. You won't sit here to listen to my sermon. You just try to find the water somewhere. I really mean it. The Bay Area has so many people. We praise the Lord. So Elijah was a man of faith, was a champion or prophet. Say, Pastor, how do you say that? You look at in Jesus' transfiguration, Peter, John, and what's another person? James. Three of them saw Jesus transfigured. And along with Jesus, there are two figures there. Who were there? Moses and Elijah. Wow. It must be very important in the kingdom of God. When God tried to show Jesus' inner circle the glory of God, he showed Jesus change in his glory. And also Elijah and Moses. Elijah represents prophet. Moses represents the law, right? That all the faith built upon the words of prophet and the law. So Elijah was a very, very crucial strategic person in the kingdom of God. But today, I'd like you to look at him too. Even a person like that, he got so discouraged. Not only just discouraged, he actually got into burnout or early stage of depression. So it's recorded in 1 Kings chapter 19, verse 1 to 21. I just wonder, can someone of you here can read for us 1 Kings chapter 19? Maybe one person read the 10 verses, another read the 11 verses. Can someone not look at the scripture there? I want someone to read it so we all can listen. Then I'm going to elaborate on that very quickly. Yeah, verse 1 to 11 maybe. And the next one is, thank you. We can listen. Thank you. Thank you, buddy. You can stop it, and then you can continue. You're the best reader right now in the house. I just want to ask you, what was Elijah's condition here? Wow.
He just had a great victory.
Yeah. But isn't that interesting? Right after greatest victory, one of the greatest victories in the whole nation, Actually, there was kind of like a revival there, right? They get rid of the false prophet, and actually the rain came down. Before this, rain came down. Everything accomplished according God said. So Elijah had done a great job, right? And then here come the enemy fall back to the queen, Jezebel. Jezebel say, okay, Ahab went into Jezebel's room and report to her. He said, sweetheart, I tell you very bad news. All your followers, all the false prophets will be gone already. The nation already changed religion. The new leader is Elijah. So Jezebel was very mad. He said, okay, I swear by my God, by tomorrow sunset, if Elijah's still alive, may the curse come to me, okay? She swore. She was very serious about that. But let's look at how Elijah responded. This is very amazing. Look at this. I have NIV version. It says, Elijah was afraid. And then he ran for his life. And Elijah, in all his life, he never ran so fast, okay? So fast, so far. He ran all the way to the Beersheba in Judah. That's very far away from where he was. And then he left his servant there while he himself went a day's journey. He walked another day. Then finally he came to under a tree, under the what? Came to a broom bush, sat down under a tree, and he say, that's it. I quit. Let me die. Wow. Dear brothers and sisters, maybe your situation not that bad yet, right? I hope none of you say, let me die. And you say, Pastor Joseph, I just say that last night. I say, don't die. I saw a booklet say, America is too young to die. I think you are all too young to die. You say, Pastor Joseph, I'm 50-something, I'm 40-something. I tell you, no matter how old you are, you compare with God, you are very young. Amen? God is eternal. So I think, just think about this. Think about Billy Graham. One day, Billy Graham ran for his life and ran very far and under a tree and say, God, let me die. I say, Billy Graham, okay? By the way, I just went to Wheaton College not too long ago to went to Billy Graham's museum to see the spiritual journey of this nation, the revival up and down. So this man really been used by God mightily. And actually, Billy Graham will be 100 years old next year. 100 years old. He really ministered to this nation, this generation mightily. He was with king and queen, all the celebrity, you know, all this time. Let's say someone like that, Billy Graham in our day, just like Elijah in his days, he was so powerful in his faith. Have you ever witnessed someone when he prayed, the fire came down from heaven, consumed the offering, right? He was the champion. But then he came to the stage so discouraged, so burned out, want to give up, even say, God, you kill me. I think one thing good about Elijah was he didn't kill himself, right? He asked God to kill him. He was so smart. If he killed himself, it's very hard to report to the Lord. Lord, why don't you kill me? I know better than my ancestors. So may I ask you, let's like an open heart talk. What do you think? Why Elijah was so discouraged? Why? In light of all your Bible knowledge. Why? I'd like to ask my older brother Andrew, why Elijah was so discouraged? To your understanding. No, I ask Andrew. How about Robert? Oh, Marlene, oh, Marsha, why Elijah was so discouraged to the extent he doesn't want to live? Why? I thought he just, because if you read the Bible, it doesn't make sense, right? There was a major victory just occurred. All the false prophet was being killed by the Israelites. Follow his action. And the rain came down. All things he prophesied fulfilled. But right now he just get a life threatened from But why he suddenly just discouraged like that? There are reasons for that. Okay, because of timing, I cannot continue this. I have to tell you, first of all, he was physically and emotionally exhausted. Think about the battle on the mountaintop. That's very exhausted, right? One person confront 800 false prophets, fight whole day, and after that, he was running in the spirit, you know? He was running in the spirit all the way to certain place. He was running. I tell you, Elijah was a superman. I think he was stronger than Ulrike. I believe Elijah didn't eat any food that whole day fighting because he was fasting. And after that, he ran all the way. And after that, he was exhausted. Emotionally, mentally, physically exhausted. And at that moment, the enemy come. Enemy breathed some words to Elijah's ears, say, run for your life, otherwise you'll be dead tomorrow. You trust me, you'll be dead for sure. So he was physically and emotionally exhausted. Second reason, because his exhaustion, he started to have the wrong focus, right? Elijah looked around, he said, nobody support me right now. I am the only prophet. Even though I get rid of all the false prophets, who else next to me? I just alone. Dear brothers and sisters, sometimes when we are so discouraged, we have the wrong perspective. We think we are the only one who suffer. I tell you, sometimes the best way you talk to someone to come out of discouragement, you just talk to someone next to you. You'll realize, oh my goodness, you didn't sleep for 2 months already? I only didn't sleep for 1 month. Wow, my situation is not that bad. You understand what I'm talking about? Oh, I thought I'm the only victim of this kind of illness. You also suffered this? Elijah had wrong focus. We all know we need to focus on God, but we cannot help. We just switch our focus on the circumstance upon ourselves. Thirdly, I believe because of that, Elijah lost faith in God. And also, he lost confidence in himself. He just accomplished greatly in God's spirit. But in the flips of eyes, just in 1 second, dear brother and sister, so be careful. Sometimes when you are so victorious, in the twinkle of eyes can change situation. If your focus not on the Lord, it's on your success. Amen? How many of you here agree? Say amen. You just been healed. So and so just pray for you. You start have a breakthrough. You are so happy, and suddenly something happened. You back to the square one again. So our focus now focus on even the victory and success. I don't think many people have a greater victory than Elijah as a prophet. And finally, he lost the vision for God. God's calling and God's assignment. He was a prophet. Amen? Well, will God protect him? Of course. He didn't do anything wrong. He did exactly what God called him to do. So that's very important, dear brother and sister. If we face a very difficult situation right now, we need to ask ourselves, am I doing what God called me to do? Or I'm doing what I thought God called me to do? Amen? There's a difference between that, right? You're doing exactly God called you to do, or you're doing you thought God called you to do. Now we come to the really encouraging part. We see how God cured Elijah. Okay, I'd like to ask Robert to continue to read. Verse 6, right? Just now you read verse 4, right? Verse 5.
Then he looked, and there by his head was a cake baked on coals and a jar of water. So he ate and drank and lay down again. And the angel of the Lord came back the second time and touched him and said, arise and eat, because the journey is too great for you. So he arose and ate and drank. And he went in the strength of that food 40 days and 40 nights
okay.
as far as Horeb, the mountain of God.
Thank you. I feel our God's the best physician, right? Wasn't God kind? God didn't say, Elijah, you come here. I have a revival message for you right now. You know, Elijah, what's your problem? Do you know? First of all, you don't know how to manage your time, manage your life. You got exhausted. That's why you become so low right now. Elijah, I'm very disappointed with you, by the way, okay? I just give you a great miracle. I opened the heaven, the fire came down, and the rain came down. You already the number one on the whole earth right now. What the world? You just fear a woman say some words like this. I'm very disappointed. Why don't you go to church and repent for 3 days? I'm so glad God didn't do that to us, right? Instead, God didn't say anything. Because Elijah, after he complained, he fell asleep because he's so tired. How many of you have this experience? You're so tired, exhausted. All you need right now is just a good sleep. Please raise your hand. I'm going to pray for you. I believe God will grant my prayer request. You're going to sleep very well because God loves you. How much God loves Elijah, God loves you. Oh, God, so great, wonderful counselor. He didn't say a word. He just sent an angel, get up, eat something. So Elijah got up. Oh, there's a bread, so good. Oh, if he's a Chinese, he said, oh, so good. This sweet sour chicken, ate, and hot sour soup and drink, and he slept. And again, the angel, get up to eat. So God fed him. Isn't that wonderful? How God cure our discouragement? First, he helped us to take care of our body. We need to sleep well. We need to eat well. If you didn't sleep well, you didn't eat well, you will be discouraged. Secondly, I'd like to ask Robert to continue to read. Thank you. Secondly, I will see God restoring Elijah's spirituality by dialogue with him. God talked with him. God counseled him. Yeah, please.
And there he went into a cave and spent the night in that place. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him. And he said to him, what are you doing here, Elijah? So he said, I have been very zealous for the Lord God of hosts, for the children of Israel have forsaken your covenant, torn down your altars, and killed your prophets with the sword. I alone am left, and they seek to take my life.
Yeah, continue. Yes, continue, please.
Then the Lord said, go out and stand on the mountain before the Lord. And behold, the Lord passed by, and a great and strong wind tore into the mountains and broke the rocks in pieces before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a still small voice.
Okay. Continue, yeah.
So it was when Elijah heard it that he wrapped his face in his mantle and went out and stood in the entrance of the cave. Suddenly, a voice came to him and said, what are you doing here, Elijah? And he said, I have been very zealous for the Lord God of hosts, because the children of Israel have forsaken your covenant, torn down your altars, and killed your prophets with the sword. I alone am left, and they seek to take my life.
Yeah. Thank you. Thank you. You know, our God is so nice, right? He lets you eat and drink first. You restore your strength. That's why Elijah can walk long journey again. And then God appeared to Elijah. It's very interesting. God asked Elijah a very profound question. God asked Elijah, say, what are you doing here? This morning I want to ask you, what are you doing here? Say, Pastor Joseph, I'm here to listen to your message. No, no. God asked you, what are you doing in your life right now in your stage? So I'm very busy, do this and that. No, God said, I know that. God asked again, what are you doing with your life right now? May I ask you, when God asks a question because he didn't know the answer or he has something other intention? Did God know Elijah was complaining? Elijah was discouraged? Elijah didn't want to do anything, want to quit. Did he know that? Another occasion was in the book of Genesis when Adam and Eve ate the forbidden fruit of the tree and they hid themselves. And God came out and said, "Where are you, Adam and Eve?" Did God know where they were? But why did God ask them? Because Adam and Eve didn't know where they were. They knew they hid themselves, but they didn't know which stage of their life. Amen? May the Lord speak to us today. What are you doing here? The here doesn't mean GCQ. The here at this stage in your life, what are you doing there? That's a very good question. So how did Elijah answer? Elijah started to really come out the reason of his discouragement, right? Elijah said, what did Elijah say? Can someone summarize what Elijah really said? Ricky, today you play the role as Elijah, okay? So what actually Elijah said to God?
Do you want me to read it? Or
No. You answer, you paraphrase in contemporary words.
I'm the only one left who's faithful to you.
Actually, Elijah tried to remind God, "Hey, God, I serve you diligently. Did you see it?
Do you see what I did for you, God?
Yes, and look at how hot I am now. I'm the most wanted in the whole nation right now. I have no place to hide." Right?
Amen.
He was very mad, I tell you. He was very mad with the current situation. And he said, "Did you see this? What happened to me?" Dear brother and sister, that can apply to you, right? You today, you probably say, "God, I love you. I serve you. You know, I'm diligent, follow you. But look at my situation right now. Are you seeing my suffering right now? Where are you?" Right? That's why he tried to tell God. Look at, the whole nation turned back on you. They killed all the prophets. I'm the only one left. They destroyed all the altars. And now they seek after my life. It's very interesting. What did God respond? What did God tell him? The first time he asked that. Because I don't have the scripture with me. Someone can help me. So
then what? The Lord said to him,
"Go out," right? He said, "Go out and stand on a mountain where I have in the presence of the Lord. For the Lord is about to pass by." What does that mean? The God say, "Actually, I don't answer your question. I just want you to look at me." Amen? Anybody agree? Say amen. Whatever the thing discourages you right now, switch your focus. Don't look at the circumstance. Look at God. God tried to reveal himself to Elijah. Does that remind you another occasion God revealed himself to Moses? Remember? Moses was burned out. Moses wanted to quit. Say, "I no more. I don't want to lead this people. The Israelites are the most difficult people to deal with. You deal with them, okay? Bye-bye. I'm checking out." Right? And God say, "Don't do that." And Moses say, "Unless you show me your presence, I will quit." Dear brother and sister, my problem, your problem is we don't see God's presence. Period. Amen? If you see God's presence, you won't be the same. You'll be so excited and you say, "All the problem I face is a small issue because I see the most beautiful God, his power." So after that, God showed himself. Very interesting. God showed him through what? Mighty wind, earthquake, and fire? No. That's not God. That's God manifest his power, right? There was a mighty wind. There was an earthquake. It's relevant to the people in the Bay Area. We're scared that big one's coming. And the fire. And the Bible says God wasn't in any of them until there's a gentle whisper. Still the same question. Elijah, what are you doing here? Isn't that wonderful? May I ask you, can God speak that to Elijah in a very powerful way? "Elijah," and the whole earth is shaking. "What are you doing here? Repent." Can God do that? He didn't. He just whispered because a person is so discouraged on the verge of depression. He cannot handle that, right? God was gently saying, Elijah, what are you doing here? It's very interesting. You compare the next verse with the original. He answered exactly the same question, the same answer. Elijah remained in the same place. And then we see God answering him. Robert, I appreciate you can read that. This answer is so important. So I think 1 Kings verse 15 to 18.
Then the Lord said to him, go, return on your way to the wilderness of Damascus. And when you arrive, anoint Hazael as king over Syria. Also you shall anoint Jehu, the son of Nimshi, as king over Israel. And Elisha, the son of Shaphat, of Abel, Meholah, you shall anoint as a prophet in your place. And it shall be that whoever escapes the sword of Hazael, Jehu will kill. And whoever escapes the sword of Jehu, Elisha will kill. Yet I have reserved 7,000 in Israel, all whose knees have not bowed to Baal, and every mouth that has not kissed him.
Thank you. May I ask you what God tried to tell Elijah? At least a few things. Number one, yes, Elijah, do not worry. I am all-knowing. I know whole situation. I know whole situation. I know you're suffering. I know you love me. Dear brother and sister, receive this from the Lord. God speak to you today. He say, I know your deeds. I know your heart. I know you have served me faithfully. Even though the circumstance, situation, the result may be not as you expect, but I know them all, and I'm going to reward you. Isn't that encouraging? You have to receive by faith. You don't believe this, you're still discouraged, you live here. God knows the nation of Israel. God knew they reject God's covenant, tore down God's altar, killed his prophet. God knew Elijah was zealous for him. But God also knew Elijah wasn't the only one left. There were 7,000 faithful remnants still in the nation of Israel. Isn't that encouraging? Dear brother and sister, you're not the only one in this area faithful to God. There are many, many, many out there. I pray about this. The Lord told me so many times. There are many, many, many faithful believers in the Bay Area still haven't bowed down to the pagan gods. Hallelujah. You're not alone. Even you are here, right? You speak to your neighbor and say, thank God you are here. Amen. Number two, what God tried to tell Elijah is, I'm totally in control of the situation. In theological terms, God is sovereign. God is in control. God gave Elijah a new assignment. That's the judgment upon the current nation of Israel. It's amazing. Isn't that encouraging? Elijah thought he was done. You know, I'm done. I'm checking out. Just kill me. I failed everything. God said, no. You still have a mission to do. This time it's easier. You're just going to anoint three people. They will close all the loose, tie out all the loose ends. You go to read the Bible. After that, the judgment came to the Ahaz family. The three people going to bring out God's judgment. Just get rid of whatever Elijah didn't finish. Did you see that? So God is in control, dear brother and sister. My message need to practice, go through. Then you'll know what God means here. So also we see how God restored Elijah. Is God affirmed Elijah by reveal his new assignment. Amen. Maybe sometimes we are very discouraged. We feel we are getting old. We are getting this and getting that, getting sick, very weak. God said, no. The new chapters yet start. Amen? Yesterday, someone encouraged me very much. I think I went down to the, Sharon's birthday party. Maybe my face shows, you know, very worried, weary, and worn out. And I appreciate this brother. He drew me aside immediately and ministered to me and prayed over me, prophesied. He said, Pastor Joseph, you know, usually when God will promote someone, or God prophesies about that person will be promoted, usually will be very dark, very difficult. And that right now you are in that situation. I said, wow, this is the best words I heard whole week. Besides, I got to inform my car broke in about this and that. So I just want to encourage you, our God is in control. That's a good news. Also a bad news. God not just carry out judgment on certain person. He carry out judgment on everyone. So we need to be holy. When we pray for America, I'm actively involved in this American Return to God prayer movement. I'm actively involved in this already 8 years. I remember I wrote the article, I say, Return to America, start with me. We are no better than any other American. Amen? Your God's in control. If he is in control, he's sovereign. When his judgment carry out on everyone. Amen? So maybe, how is our response? I need to conclude. We have Holy Communion. First of all, from Elijah's experience, how God deal with him, I think the number one thing, maybe you feel this is not spiritual, but it's very important. I encourage all of you to take care of your body, sleep well and eat well. Speak to your neighbor, say, please, sleep well and eat well. If you didn't sleep well for quite a while, I'm going to pray for you, for God's grace for you. Secondly, I think we need to learn from Elijah. We need to have right focus. We need to right focus on God. But it's a vague words. You need to start to read God's words, meditate on his words, declare his words. Amen? We're going to declare today we are no more discouraged. Amen? We're going to declare we break the spirit of discouragement in you, in me, in this church. We need to break that. That's a spirit. You say, oh, no, Pastor Joseph, because this thing and this thing. No, not those things. It's your perspective. Thirdly, we must build up an intimate fellowship relationship with Jesus so you will hear from him. You will not hear from enemy all the time, the wrong information. Amen? Many times we hear from the enemy, say, you are hopeless, you are useless, you cannot overcome, you remain the same. God doesn't love you, that's why you suffer. No, that's not from the Lord. Remember how God dealt with Elijah in the gentle whisper. God's gentle whisper was exalting, but was very gentle with love because he's a loving father. And finally, I want to encourage all of you, our true success comes from our true spirituality. Your success is not how much you accomplish. Your success is your true spirituality. So what is a true spirituality? Two things. Number one, we are doing that right now. We know we are God, the Father's loving child. That's what we're learning right now. We need to have that truth, reality in our life. We experience Father's love emotionally, right? The first true spirituality is you know your Father's loving child. You live for that loving Father. Number two, you have intimate relationship with the Father. That's a true spirituality. So I like Mike Biko say a famous statement. He say, who's success? What is true success? I know God loved me and I love God. That's my success. Easy to say, huh? But if we really start to live according to that, you will be very successful. I tell you, our ministry will grow when we grow spirituality. Amen? Not try to fix the problem. It's a spirituality. How about let's all rise, we pray. We're going to have the Holy Communion. We thank God. Another thing to give us hope is this Holy Covenant, right? The Holy Communion show us and confirm we are children of God. Dear brother and sister, I want to tell you one very important news. Hope you listen to me. Jesus is surely coming back. Because the Holy Communion reminds us. Jesus said, you do this in remembrance of me until I return. And all the signs shows He is coming back. How many say amen? Hallelujah. Amen. Isn't that wonderful? Jesus is coming back. Amen. Can you imagine if Jesus doesn't come back to let the world continue like this? Can you imagine that? Your car parked anywhere can be broken in. Right? That's where we are at right now. Right now I have phobia. I need to be healed to fear about my car anytime. I just tell you the truth. So we thank God for this Holy Communion. Can someone invite the kids to come? And is the old kids here? I think our Father loves us so much. He showed it in action. He gave his only son to die in our place so our destiny can be changed, our identity can be changed. So I'd like to invite all of you. You come being baptized unto the Church of Jesus Christ. You've been born again. You come forward. You take the bread and cup. Then you stand wherever you are at and pray to God about this discouragement spirit. You break that today with this Holy Communion. Amen? Because this reminds you God loves you. So we start from the back. You come forward, take a bread and cup, please.